Welcome to Torah Tzimecha, Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rivka Alter, and today we are studying Perek Chaf of Melachim Bet. Our Perek begins with Yeshayahu coming to inform Chizkiyahu in Pasuk Aleph that he is going to die. Immediately, Chizkiyahu prays to Hashem in Pasuk Gimel and cries profusely, B'chi Gadol. Even once told he will die, he does not despair, and still turns to Hashem in tefillah for his decree to be overturned. Chizkiyahu serves as the model for tefillah both from last perek and this. Pasuk Bet says, Vayasev et panav el hakir, vayitpalel el Hashem. He turned towards the wall and then daven, thus demonstrating that even when you feel like you are against a wall and there is no way to move forward, there is still benefit in turning to Hashem. This is an example of one of the paradigms of tefillah that we mention in Slichot, when we say, Misha ana l'chizkiyahu melech Yehuda b'chalyo hu ya'anenu. The one who answered and cured Chizkiyahu from his sickness, he should answer us. According to Gemara Brachot, Daf Yud, Chizkiyahu taught us that even if one has a cherev chada munachat al tzavaro, al yimna atzmo min harachamim. Even a sharp sword on one's neck does not preclude one from asking for mercy. The word kir, wall, from Pasuk Bet is explained by Reish Lakish not to mean a physical wall, but referencing kirot libo, the innermost chambers of his heart that were moved in this prayer. Immediately after, Hashem informs Yeshayahu in Pasuk Hey that Hashem has heard Chizkiyahu's tefillot and will heal him on the third day. Chizkiyahu is additionally told in Pasuk Vav he will live for another 15 years, and Yerushalayim will continue to be protected. It is interesting that this last fact about Yerushalayim's protection is thrown into this conversation about Chizkiyahu's personal illness. Maybe we can understand Chizkiyahu's illness as not only representing a personal and individual ailment, but also symbolizing the state of the people of Yehuda who were weakened and will experience a future victory against Ashur. Chizkiyahu's and the city of Yerushalayim's fates were intertwined. Chazal in Gemara Brachot Daf Yud pinpoint the cause of Chizkiyahu's sickness on his failure to have children. It doesn't seem to fit with the righteous persona of Chizkiyahu in the previous prakim. One possible explanation is based on Chizkiyahu's son Menashe himself, who will take over as king after his father and who is described as one of the worst of the Malchei Yehuda. Knowing this and trying to prevent this source of wickedness may be the reason why Chizkiyahu refrained. We can see this hinted to based on his reaction after he is healed in Yeshayahu Perek Lamed Chet, when in his words towards Hashem he says the phrase Av Lebanim in Pasuk Yotet. Hashem's message to Chizkiyahu through Yeshayahu is that it is not our job to take these matters in our hands. We need to do what we can do and rely on Hashem for the rest. It is not for us to mess with Nistarot HaBoreh, those things left up to Hashem. And so Chizkiyahu does turn to Hashem in tefillah when he is afflicted, even though he knows he is standing opposite a wall, and he does decide to move ahead with having children. Even from this viewpoint, we can view Chizkiyahu as a model for tefillah. Even when the gezerah, the decree, remains unchanged, and he's still going to give birth to a wicked child, there is still value in the process of tefillah itself. It is not our job to assess the future and comprehend Hashem's calculations, and Chizkiyahu's knowledge of his family's future did not excuse him from his obligations towards Hashem. Although the story of Chizkiyahu's illness is mentioned here, the opinion of historians is that it took place earlier, before or during the attempted siege of Ashur that we spoke about in last Perek. We know that Chizkiyahu ruled for 29 years, and the siege was in his year number 14. If he is granted 15 more years in this Perek, then it seems logical to say that this Perek took place in his 14th year as well. In Pasuk Zayin, we find out what his ailment was, shchin, boils, and Yeshayahu informs him to place pressed figs on it as a cure. Rashi in Yeshayahu, in Sefer Yeshayahu, brings up this example as extra miraculous in that Hashem took something unlikely to heal and made it be the healing agent. We saw the same concept with the waters of Yericho with Elisha and the sweetening of the waters at Marah with Moshe Rabbeinu. After this, what comes next seems out of character. Chizkiyahu, needing more assurance, asks in Pasuk Chet for an oath, a sign that Hashem will heal him in the timetable he was promised. What happened to his tremendous faith in Hashem? We can understand this sign as not being for him, but really for the people. He is given two options in Pasuk Tet. Halach hatzel eser ma'alot, im yashuv eser ma'alot. Advancing the shade 10 steps, or having it come back, retreat 10 steps. The shade here seems to be referencing a clock of sorts, measuring the time of each day. Chizkiyahu chooses having the shade return back 10 steps, thinking it is the harder task. Hashem does this, and the steps are referred to as Ma'alot Achaz, the steps of Achaz, his father. Rashi explains that this was a sundial that was moved backwards, which indicates going back in time. This, in effect, extends the amount of time Chizkiyahu will remain on earth, which is in sync with the prophetic message he received. This type of cosmic miracle of the sun shifting direction has been done before. When Yehoshua proclaimed Shemesh B'Givon Dom, when the sun stood still in Givon, giving them more time to fight their enemy. Just like Hashem helped defeat the Kna'anim, so will he defeat Ashur. This sign also symbolizes the need to go back and correct some of the past. It was a way for Chizkiyahu to demonstrate that he was not his father, the one who refused an oath when it was offered to him. While this first general storyline paints Chizkiyahu as the man who trusts Hashem, the next story in the Perek brings this faith into question. Chizkiyahu is given a gift and letters from the king of Bavel during his illness in Pasuk Yodbet. This was not an altruistic move. It is clear to us that the king of Bavel's motives, what they are. However, Chizkiyahu shows him all the items in the treasury in Pasuk Yod Gimel. He may have been thinking that an alliance with Bavel was the way to overthrow Ashur, but in essence, he paves the way for the rise of the Babylonian Empire. He also did not learn his lesson from the alliance he made with Egypt, which did not help. This is consistent with Chizkiyahu's failure to sing Shirah after the miracle with Ashur. He is not acknowledging Hashem's miracle properly if he is investing in human help instead of fully recognizing the divine intervention at play. Yeshayahu enters into conversation with Chizkiyahu by questioning him in Pasuk Yodalit about this visit and then relays a message from Hashem for him in Pasuk Yodzayin. What Chizkiyahu just did on the small scale is what will happen on a much larger scale when the Babylonians later loot and destroy the Beit HaMikdash. Hine yamim ba'im v'nisa kol asher b'veisacha. He is seemingly informed about the terrible things Bavel will do in the future and how he has empowered them. After all, this is what he seems to have preferred, dependence on and subjugation to Bavel instead of dependence on Hashem. The possibility of Yemot HaMashiach being around the corner is now officially dead. Chizkiyahu's reaction on Pasuk Yotet is very short-sighted, noting that what Yeshayahu is describing will not happen during his time, during his life, and he seems satisfied as long as there is peace and truth during his days. Tov Dvar Hashem Asher Dibarta Vayomer Halo Im Shalom Ve'emet Yihyeh Biyamai. He seems to be more complacent than he has been in the past. This is the fourth interaction Chizkiyahu has with Yeshayahu, and there is something different here than in the previous three times. In each of the other times Chizkiyahu davens, at first, in the beginning of Pasuk Yotet after Rav Shakeh's visit, he asks Yeshayahu to daven for him. And then the other times, he does it himself. First in the Beit HaMikdash after Rav Shakeh's last speech, and then in his own home in the beginning of this perek when he is sick with even greater intensity. But after the news from Yeshayahu about Bavel and the future, the pattern is broken, and we don't see a response from Chizkiyahu in the form of prayer. And we see how he accepts this with a degree of nonchalance. Maybe we can understand his response in two ways. One view of Chizkiyahu's complacence is that he is simply declaring that the only thing he can focus on now is what is good for the kingdom, since the political reality is always changing, and so it is not beneficial to think about the future. Maybe he learned from the beginning of the Perek when he tried to influence the future by not having kids. However, the Malbim does view this attitude as part of his overall trust in Hashem, that bad prophecies can change to good, dependent on the actions of the people. So he does not take Yeshayahu's words about the future as devastating news. It is interesting to note, though, that he realizes it is dependent on the actions of the people themselves, and maybe that is why he realizes his own personal heartfelt tefillot will only go so far. The events of this parak are relayed by Yeshayahu in Prakim Lamed Chet and Lamed Tet of his Sefer. One notable addition in Perek Lamed Chet begins in Pasuk Tet through Pasuk Chaf with Michtav Lechizkiyahu, a letter Chizkiyahu wrote after being healed. In it, he talks about how he went down to the depths of Sheol and then rose up. A lot of the language used is similar to Yonah's speech while in the fish's body in Yonah Perek Bet. It's interesting to note this connection, specifically considering that both of these men struggled with their relationship with the kingdom of Ashur, and also Hashem's expectations of them both as leaders. Chizkiyahu dies at the end of this parak, and his son Menashe does take over. Chizkiyahu is the last Melech Yehuda to be buried among the kings of Beit David, as the independence of their monarchy comes to an end. Chizkiyahu's son Menashe takes over at age 12, as mentioned in the beginning of next parak, which means that he was born in those 15 additional years that Chizkiyahu was granted by Hashem after his illness. Until that point, Chizkiyahu had no sons, as we mentioned, and that he may have refrained from having children because of Menashe. But he learned his lesson after his sickness and agreed to do the right thing in the present and to trust in Hashem. This struggle between reliance on Hashem and human intervention is seen thematically throughout the prakim dedicated to Chizkiyahu. In Psachim, Daf 55 and 56, the rabbis list six endeavors of Chizkiyahu and praise three of them and are critical of the other three. Tanu Rabbanan, Shisha Dvarim Asach Chizkiyah HaMelech, Al Shlosha Hodulo, V'Al Shlosha Lo Hodulo. They endorsed him dragging his father's bones on ropes, destroying the Nachash HaNechoshet, and hiding the Sefer Refuot. These actions were about destroying traces of Avodah Zarah and disgracing his father. The Sefer Refuot was a medical almanac that offered remedies for any sickness. Why was it good that he put this away? It was seen as offering a simple cure and was a barrier between people turning to Hashem in tefillah and affording them moments of introspection when sick. While not denying the ability of human cures, Chizkiyahu felt the sole reliance on this was problematic. And the rabbis agreed. Of the three things not endorsed, one of them was the closing off of the water of the upper Gihon spring outside the city. That was considered to be not enough reliance on Hashem's help. They also did not agree with him cutting down the doors of the Beit HaMikdash to give to the king of Ashur and adding another month of Nisan to delay the celebration of Pesach that year. While this general struggle of balancing bitachon emuna versus human intervention is a hallmark of Chizkiyahu's time, we must end with a focus on his successes. He removed idolatry, attempted to unite the nation by asking Jews in the north to join them, and he rededicated the Beit HaMikdash. The Torah learning throughout the country was explosive. He most certainly is one of the strongest of the Malchei Yehuda. Thank you for studying together, Li'ilui Nishmat, Malka Esther, Bat Tzvi Yosef.